This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins me in studio. He is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. They track growth and development issues, water issues, local politics, budget issues, you name it. Good afternoon, sir. It's good to see you.
Good afternoon, Coy.
Now, you have a new office. I was trying to get in touch with you today.
And we do.
I emailed you. It's funny. In all caps. What's your phone number? I can't find you.
We basically cut the umbilical cord from the old office. And I asked the phone company how much would it cost to forward all my calls to my new number. And it was some outrageous amount for a nonprofit. You know, I just said to myself, you know, there's no way I'm going to pay that every month. So I'm just going to cut it off. And people will find us online. They'll look at the bottom of my emails and they'll get my new phone number.
Although I will tell you, I went to your website today. I clicked on About Us to find the new phone number. Yep. It's the old phone number. So you need to edit that. Yes.
I'll have to talk to my webmaster. Oops, that's me.
Brian Wheeler with Charlottesville Tomorrow. What's the very latest? What's the headline?
Hey, how fast is your internet at home, Coy?
I'm very happy with that. I have a DSL through, what are they now? Sprint. What are they called now? Century something.
CenturyLink.
I have a DSL, and then I have like an Apple router connected with that. So
pretty
I have
good.
Wireless throughout the house.
Imagine this. What if it could be, quote, unlimited bandwidth beyond comprehension?
I got goosebumps.
That's what Chris
What is unlimited bandwidth beyond comprehension?
I don't know, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
Somebody's trying to tell me something.
Apparently Google would like you, Coy, to have unlimited bandwidth beyond comprehension.
Wow.
But that's in the view of Chris Engel, who is the City of Charlottesville's Assistant Director of Economic Development. The city, Albemarle County, UVA, they're both going to try to work together to get a grant from Google. Because Google is saying to the world, we want to help you put ultra-fast fiber optic internet connections everywhere.
And they have an economic interest in doing so, of course.
Well, yeah. And Mr. Engel pointed out that were the city to have such a thing, he said it could attract individuals with new ideas to come to Charlottesville and try to start new companies. But it also could attract existing companies from somewhere else who want to benefit from this ultra-fast Google Fiber.
No, doesn't, is it, do they still have T1 lines? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, that's still an increment of bandwidth.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is that what they're talking about? A T1 line to like homes?
Remember, Coy, this is unlimited bandwidth beyond comprehension.
This so is T infinity.
Obviously, I can't explain it to you.
What the heck does that mean? Well, UVA already has a T1 line servicing there.
Well, there's this thing called Internet 2, which I think UVA is plugged into, which is sort of the next level of that, and so maybe this is something beyond it. I must admit, I'm a little fuzzy.
It's beyond comprehension,
details.
is what it's beyond.
Well, I'm just quoting people here, you know. So,
but this would be for like the urban ring and or even out.
Well,
in
they
the...
want to get Albemarle County involved as well. So, you know, the urban ring, I imagine around the city. Whether this community is likely to receive this grant, I couldn't tell you. But at this point, what City Council talked about last week was to at least try to pursue it. So I think it's interesting, you know, in this climate where often we're talking about the city and county clashing heads right now on budget-related matters. You know, here's another example of where they realize it's in their best interest to work together. So they're going to collaborate and try to put in an application. Who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky. You know, there is a track record here. The city and county worked together to get that Energy Alliance grant. That was about $500,000 that the community got this past year. And so this is another one they're going to go after, but it does have exciting possibilities.
Well, beyond comprehension.
Beyond comprehension.
Ultra-fast Google Fiber coming soon to a neighborhood near you, maybe.
Look for that story in the Daily Progress tomorrow.
In the Daily Progress tomorrow, we're talking with Brian Wheeler. What else is going on?
Remember, we talked about water connection fees. This is what a developer has to pay, hook up new houses, new apartments to the water system. And in Albemarle County, they've been talking about raising those fees significantly, the connection fees, because...
To help to pay for all the upgrades we need in our water system.
Pay for all the capital investments they need to be making to expand capacity, to replace existing infrastructure, fix pipes, you name it.
Yeah. Well, we just had that report in the news that they're saying this pipeline, which is just one part of the overall new water supply plan, is going to be at least $63 million.
That's what they said. And I think the previous estimate was 50-something million. So that's something we'll certainly keep an eye on. But this is more about, you know, new developers and what they pay. And what was interesting, Coy, was when they found, when the developers found out last year that this was coming down the pipeline, so to speak, significant concerns for those developers that had projects in the queue, because they realized if they didn't get their building permits in time, they were going to have to pay the new higher rates. They came to the Albemarle County Service Authority. They said, please delay this. The service authority said, we'll compromise. We'll up some of it in September, last September, and then we'll increase the rest of the way on March 1st. So March 1st is coming up soon. And the developers were, they asked them to if they could prepay for these things. So imagine you're trying to build something, Coy. You're not quite to the point where you're ready to say, hey, I'm ready for a building permit, but you've already bought the property and you know you're going to do something there.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is the developers...
Let me pay now when it's cheaper versus
right.
pay later.
Yeah. Imagine that.
And give me a credit. Yeah.
That is not beyond comprehension.
That is smart business. Yeah.
So they want to get these connection permits while they can. The Albemarle County Service Authority Board said at their recent meeting, not so fast. We don't think that's a good idea because we've always had this first come, first served process. And I hadn't really thought about that, but if you think about it, you know, we have developers today sitting on huge parcels of land not being developed. Albemarle Place, North Point, Cascadia.
Yeah. They're approved.
Village of
But the economic Urbana climate Village. Isn't welcoming to
right.
a big
So imagine if all those developers who were first to come in, get their rezonings, had sucked up all the permits for connecting to the water supply, and then other people wouldn't have them necessarily because they'd want to, you know, keep track of how many they're issuing. So that's what the board came down on. They said, you know what? We know it's tough. We know these are tough economic times, but we're going to raise the rates. And just to put some real numbers.
So are they going to let them prepay?
They're not. They decided that was not a good idea.
Yeah.
It should remain first come, first serve. When you're issued a building permit, then you can come to us.
It's more of a market approach versus, you know, bending over backwards to grant special favors. You know?
But there was a guy, developer David Hilliard, was building an assisted living facility out in Crozet back in January 2008 when he first was looking at putting 126 units on the water and sewer system. It was going to cost him less than $200,000. So, I mean, it's still a lot of money to me, but $200,000 in January 2008. With the new fees that go into effect March 1st, he will pay $724,000 to connect those same 126 units.
Very different, isn't it? Yeah.
So, so the developers that were on the right side of this timing, you know, benefited. Those that didn't are going to help pay for the infrastructure.
Yeah. And that money that they spend, that extra money, is going to go down to the cost of those homes, right? When they turn around and try to sell these properties.
Well, you know, that is always a concern by the builders and developers in the community, that when there's extra things they have to do, that will get passed on to the buyer. Now, at the end of the day, they have to sell it at a market price, right? So if
they're not just going to add on to it infinitely, you know,
I mean, you could try,
definitely,
you could try, but
they still have to sell it.
There's a competitive market here, and there are other places where you could choose to live.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. We'll take a very quick break. We'll be right back.
He said, "Drifter, can you make folks cry when you play and sing? Have you paid your dues? Can you moan the blues? Can you bend them guitar strings?"
It's 20 minutes after 5 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Coy Barefoot, and I hope you're doing well. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. So what is all this about the city? In this economic climate, the city is hiring a new staff person, is that right?
They've agreed to study hiring a new staff person. I'm not sure how much that'll cost. I'm just kidding. We're always doing studies around here, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
So City Council, at their recent meeting, decided to study the creation of a neighborhood advocate position who would facilitate neighborhood outreach efforts, so going out and engaging the community, but also take part in educating citizens about decisions being made by government.
I thought, and he can answer this when he comes in on Thursday, but I thought that was part of Maurice Jones's job description when he was hired.
That'd be a great question to ask.
I mean, you would know.
Mr. Jones.
Wasn't that one of his early job descriptions? I thought he was some type of outreach guy.
I don't think I ever looked at his job description, so I don't know.
It was like an assistant city manager and community outreach and getting out there and talking with...
He's certainly doing those things.
I mean, oh, yeah, big time. Yeah.
But this would be, you know, during the course of the city council election last fall, Dave Norris and Kristen Zekas had a press conference that I was honored to attend, and they talked about having this person in city government, and they thought that, you know, they looked around at other cities that had such a position and that felt like it would add a lot of value. We all know that in Charlottesville, the community is very engaged in all things government most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, people don't hesitate to come out to public hearings and talk about these things.
Yeah, I love that.
Go to city council meetings.
So people care. They
care.
I think
we're pretty engaged around here.
Yeah. So it's not like you're looking to get past some huge apathy. I mean, this isn't an extremely apathetic community. The people here, as you say, they really do care and they are engaged by and large.
Yes and no. See, I would say I think what Kristen Zekas would say is that certain pockets of the community are very engaged, but she wants to more broadly reach out to maybe neighborhood associations that have gone dormant and try to, you know, find who's the leader in that part of the community, and let's get their input because we're not hearing from them. Whether it's a socioeconomic situation where certain populations are not being represented or certain geographic areas of the city, I think that's something they want to take a look at.
Not every neighborhood is like the Freispring Neighborhood Association.
That's one extreme.
That is very involved, and they have their act together, let's put it like that.
They are, and you know, they've got a website, and they have regular meetings, they host candidate forums, and that is more the type of people we tend to see at city council meetings.
Right, right.
And so I think, you know, the question is, what could this person do to help
facilitate that? Are
their
neighborhoods falling through the cracks and not being heard from?
Yeah. And the neighborhoods themselves have said, hey, we need to get better organized. They formed an alliance of neighborhoods that is city and county. And that's sort of in its nascent stages at this point.
That's smart.
But it's
politically, very smart.
It's trying to get the conversations going. And that came up especially, Coy, as the Biscuit Run development was being talked about and the idea of traffic, you know, coming into the city of Charlottesville through Fry Springs and Old Lynchburg Road. So I think that was one of the reasons where people said, you know what, we need to work together because these things happening in our community, in many ways, it's one community. And they impact all of us.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. What's the latest on industrial land in Albemarle County? Mm. Do you have that?
I do.
Because I know we've been talking about that for months.
We have. No decision's been made, but this relates to the Yancey Mills Business Park. The Crozet community has been very involved in this review because, of course, their master plan is up for its five-year review. So the community is having all these forums, and the county is engaging them in planning the future of the Crozet community. Big issues out in Crozet are population, the boundaries of the growth area, should the Crozet growth area expand, and is the Yancey Mills Business Park an appropriate way for the Crozet growth area to expand? When you listen to the Crozet leaders, people like Mike Marshall, editor of the Crozet Gazette, but also involved with the Crozet Community Advisory Council, people like Tom Loach, who are on the Planning Commission representing the Whitehall District, the two of those two gentlemen say, you know what, Crozet is the poster child for integrating industry with, you know, neighborhood model development.
Absolutely.
In downtown Crozet, we've got industrial land.
Yeah.
And we
that
used
community
to have,
grew up around warehouses and factories.
True. In ConAgra, you know, those were the two big things. You got the railroad tracks right there. The Yancey Mills Business Park is something that the new Board of Supervisors has said they think deserves a serious look.
Yeah.
Now, Ken Boyd and the board directed that this be looked at last year, too. But now, when they met first in January, they said, you know what, we need to take a closer look at this. Let's look at industrial land. What's our inventory look like? Anyway, the end of the story is that they're going to wait till July and have this really go through the rest of the process with the Crozet Master Plan. So when that comes back to the board this summer, they'll make a decision about that.
Remind us really quick where this is and what the Yancey Mills Business Park would be. What do they want to do?
Right now, Yancey Mills is known as, you know, the interchange at I-64 and 250 West. And when you get off there, there's the Yancey Lumber Company. So you can see the lumber mill. And oftentimes when you drive by, you see the stacks of pine trees that have been cut and they're being
And one of the very few billboards in this community is right there as well.
There is a billboard there. And so the Yancey family owns not only the heavy industrial lumber yard, which is right there on the road, but also about 140 or so acres behind it. That's mostly rural land outside of the growth area.
Right up on 64, though.
It goes against 64 and it goes behind Western Albemarle High School. Now, that land, again, is not in the growth area. It is in the watershed of the South Fork Urvana Reservoir. So that's important. And those topics are coming up in this conversation. Is that the place where we need to expand? What would that development look like? Those are all questions that the Crozet community has weighed in on. And for the most part, what I'm hearing out of Crozet is we don't want it. We don't think we need to grow. We think we have existing industrial space, and we don't want more competition for downtown Crozet. Let's get downtown Crozet right and redeveloped. They're already worried about Old Trail and it becoming a new downtown.
They should be.
So what they're trying to do is find that right balance between downtown, between Old Trail. And I think the Yancey Mills project is coming in and being viewed with a lot of skepticism by the community.
But a lot of support on this new board. Yeah.
Other business leaders in town say, you know what? This is exactly what we do need. One big, large track that we can have light industrial activities on. And part of the problem is that existing LI land has been rezoned for higher uses, like offices, and not for those things where you need to put trucks and storage,
which is
equipment.
What this would be.
Yeah.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Rick is on the line in Charlottesville. Rick, real quick, go right ahead.
Hey, I was intrigued by at least one of the comments. And in fact, I'm always impressed by the information that Brian shares with us. It's always extremely impressive, to be quite honest.
Thank you.
There aren't many people that are as aware and have put the information together, have done the statistical research. I mean, it's downright impressive. But anyhow, all that aside, you said something about this is one community, and you know, indeed, this really is one community, Charlottesville-Albemarle. In fact, frequently, Albemarle gets offended because people refer to it as Charlottesville and vice versa, but so be it. It is sort of one community, isn't it?
It is.
What amazes me is, I don't think I have ever heard much serious discussion about the consolidation of the two, especially in terms of schools and lots of other services. Every now and then we hear something about fire and rescue, and every now and then we hear something about a few other things, but what's the deal with that? Is that open-ended enough?
Great question. Well, you know, as a member of the Albemarle County School Board, I will say that I'm on the record saying we should at least have that conversation between the two communities. We should look at consolidating schools. If you look at the city and county budget, public education is the biggest part of both of our government operations, and therefore is the greatest opportunity for saving tax dollars to do education, I think, more cheaply and more effectively.
And you don't necessarily have to turn it into one big school system, but you can find places that you can consolidate and perhaps combine some things, right?
There are a number of areas where we're working together today. And, you know, I would encourage the listeners to keep listening to Coy's show because there'll be another school board member on next. And,
what a great transition. And when we get back in just a few minutes, we'll talk with Eric Strucco of the Albemarle County School Board, and we'll pick up right where we left off. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.